Thank you, Mr. Kasperson. Good morning. Still morning, right? Yeah, barely. Get this on here. When my daughter, Nicole, was about 6 months old, we were sitting in the car looking out at one of the most beautiful scenes. We were in Southern California at that time in February, and it was probably the best time to be in Southern California because it just had rained for a few days earlier. But this day was warm and sunny, and everything was lush and green. The mountains in the distance were just alive with color. They were sprinkled with, you know, they were this deep green, and they were sprinkled with wildflowers. The sun was just setting, and it's a time that photographers call the golden hour, where light is just soft and warm, and everything was sort of bathed in this amber glow. Well, then I was by the ocean, and the deep blue water, and I was at a marina, and these like white boats were sort of bobbing in the marina, and the swaying fronds of the palm trees, you know, were sort of against the wispy white clouds of the cyan sky, and there was this gentle breeze, and it was sort of carrying in the scent of the ocean and hibiscus sort of combined, and this whole thing was just this truly breathtaking moment. Well, anxious to share this sight with my new little one, Nicole, I kind of went and got her and brought her to the front seat and rolled down the window. And I set her on my lap and I had her look out at this scene. I sort of opened the window so we could like enjoy this sight together. So I looked down at her expression and noticed that her attention was focused on the tiny little silver lock that sort of goes up and down in my car. Well, I kind of laughed. I sort of gently lifted her head and I pointed out and I talked to my little six-month-old, look how beautiful and pretty this is out there. And then I looked at her and her little head kind of just wobbled right back down slowly to this shiny little door lock thing once again that she was just spellbound by. And I kind of had to laugh because this was one of the most beautiful sights I had ever seen. But all Nicole could focus on was the tiny little shiny silver thingy in my 1981 Monte Carlo. Well, I couldn't help but wonder, does God look at us sometimes and shake his head as we focus on all these little like knobs right in front of us? And we forget to look up at the awesome beauty around us. So today I would like to consider an attribute of God, and that's the attribute of creativity. And that's, I think, one big advantage of observing the Sabbath as we do, because it really allows us to put the sort of craziness of the world to the side, and we can spend some moments just thinking about our awe-inspiring Creator. Well, how does God show his creativity? I mean, obviously, the first place to start is Genesis 1, verse 1. So let's read that. Genesis 1, 1. And as we look at creation and the process by which it happened, it really is just astounding. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said in verse 3, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light and that it was good. And God divided between the light and the darkness. Verse 6, and God said, let there be an expanse in the middle of the waters. And he divided the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse or the land. Verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. I mean, we see here that God spoke the universe into existence. Turn to Romans chapter 4. I think what's so remarkable here is how God created. Because you see, he created out of nothing. In Romans 4, in verse 17 at the end, it says, God who calls into being that which does not exist. I mean, he did not start with something that was equally as eternal as him and then just rearrange it to make it something better. He called into existence that which did not previously exist. I mean, that is amazing when you think about it. I mean, we can be creative, we can do things, but we are grabbing something that exists and rearrange it. God spoke and created out of nothing. That is amazing. John chapter 1, verse 3 reinforces this point. In John 1, chapter 3, it says, all things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. I mean, the Bible reveals to us that God and Jesus Christ created all things. Hebrews 1, verse 10 says, you, Lord, have laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the works of your hand. And what God has done is beyond our comprehension. It's beyond anything that we have experienced. Still in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, it says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what we see is not made out of things which are visible. I mean, God tells us this is how it was and that we are to trust him. And really, that takes faith to believe that God created all of this. I mean, we cannot explain it with our own finite understanding. God alone is eternal. God alone is uncreated. Please turn to Psalms chapter 115. I think what's so amazing about God is he did not have to create. In Psalms 115, verse 3, it says, our God is in the heavens, and he does whatever he pleases. God was not lonely or incomplete without creating. I mean, this creative attribute he has of his own free will. He wanted to create. In Revelation 4, verse 11, it says, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. When we see here that God has created all things, and Colossians tells us how God relates to his creation, in Colossians 1, verse 16. I get excited, so I have thousands of verses here, so I'm going real fast. In Colossians 1, verse 16, it says, for all things were created in him, the things in heaven and the things on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. I mean, creation is dependent upon God. God holds it all together. Isaiah 45 shows us this creation was not just haphazard. In Isaiah 45, verse 18, it tells us there's an element of design and creativity when God is creating. Isaiah 45, verse 18 says, for thus says the Lord who created the heavens, he is the God who formed the earth and made it. He established it. He did not create it a waste place, but formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, there is none else. I mean, God creatively designed everything that we see with a purpose. Genesis 1, verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth tender sprouts, and the herbs seeding seed, and the fruit trees producing fruit after its own kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. Verse 12, and the earth brought forth tender sprouts, the herb yielding seed after its own kind, and the tree producing fruit after its own kind, whose seed was in itself, and God saw that it was good. I mean, when God created the vegetation, he set up a process by which the plants could reproduce with seeds. I mean, later we find God was creative in the many plants that he pollinated. And he helps them reproduce by creating bugs and bees that jump from plants to plant. It is amazing the detail in the creativity that God does. And the more you learn about it, the more it just blows you away. I mean, I remember several years ago, my family and I went to this exhibit in New York City called The Body. And it's this exhibit with real human bodies that had been preserved by using this special process. For example, we saw like individual muscles on people, and they kind of had been dissected at different levels so you could sort of see it. I mean, it was sort of kind of gross, but it was kind of interesting because you got to see just how complex the body was. You could see this entire muscular system or the entire skeleton system. And each part of the exhibit was labeled so that we knew what we were looking at and we knew how it worked and we could see how muscles fit together with muscles and how muscles fit together with your bones. I mean, it really was incredible how this all fit together to make a body. I mean, we barely even think about our body sometimes unless it hurts, but it really is incredible how it works. And I remember for me and my wife, Sue, and Sue's sister was there, and our young son, Alex, I mean, we just left with this incredible appreciation for the body and how it worked. I mean, we marveled at God's genius and creativity and what he did to create the body. The eye. Think about your eye for a second. The retina, it's the back of your eye, it's about 1 square inch. Well, it has over 100 million light receptors in this square inch. Think of a second. How long would it take for 100 million seconds? It would take almost three and a half years. That's how many little light receptors are in a 1 square inch in the back of your eyes. I mean, the cones and the rods convert light into this sort of electrochemical energy, enabling us to see. I mean, the eye, I'm a photographer. The eye is this like incredibly delicate camera that can take over 196 color photos a second. It has its own light meter. It has its own protection and cleaning equipment. If it gets damaged, it can repair itself. I mean, it's incredible just how complex it is for us to see and to see colors and to see when it gets dark how we can see and when it gets bright how we can see and how the eye adjusts to that. The ear. I mean, the ear didn't happen just by accident. The outer ear collects these sound waves from the air and it funnels them into the eardrum. The waves cause the eardrum to vibrate. And the eardrum is this amazing thing. It can sense frequencies that move the eardrum only 1/1,000,000,000th of a centimeter. Okay, a centimeter is about that big. Okay, so if a million is 12, takes a million seconds for 12 days, a billion seconds takes 31 and over 31 and a half years to get a billion seconds. But yet, squish that down to a centimeter, that's how sensitive and detailed God has made us to hear. I mean, vibrations that are mechanically transmitted, amplified through the three sort of connecting bones in the inner ear, enters this fluid inside our ears. And then these fluids and the waves are connected to these nerve impulses, and 24,000 auditory receptor cells are in there in each of our ears. And then it takes these sort of impulses and it makes them sort of electronic, and then it sends it to our brain, who translates it, and then we can hear. So we can hear the beauty of music, and we can hear and communicate with each other, and we can hear birds sing. It's not just this, it's just incredible how complex it is and how creative God was to even come up with it so that we could hear. And then if that's not enough, you know what else it does? It helps us balance. If you've ever broken an eardrum, you fall over. Because all that sort of liquid in there keeps your brain balanced so your body can balance. I mean, that is just amazing what God can do. Think of your heart. Your heart beats over 100,000 times a day, and it pumps 5.8 tons of blood per day. That's enough to fill a 4,000-gallon tank. Every day, that is what your heart is doing, this incredible muscle that really is the center of you and keeps everything going. We don't even think about it, but look how creative God was to make your heart work. It really is just astounding. Your circulatory system, all the blood moving all over and all the passageways in your body, if you laid it out 60,000 miles, 2.5 times around the earth, that's what's inside your body. It just blows you away what God has done just to create. But my daughter is pregnant. I'm going to be a grandfather. First one, I'm excited. But you wonder how a baby even, how it even works. I mean, it's like, how can this even come out and work? It's so complex. And the development, the developing of it, it just blows you away. Think about your bones or your skeleton. Your skeletons make up about 1/5 of your body weight. Yet, because of its design, it is more flexible and stronger in size than if it were made of steel or wood. I mean, a man's thigh bone is strong enough to carry the weight of a car. I mean, I left this exhibit, this body exhibit, just in total admiration for the creativity of God and just us and just me and what it took for him just to make us humans. It blows you away. And the more you learn about it, the more you just are in awe of God and how creative he is. And I couldn't help but think, how could somebody walk out of this and think that it evolved? I mean, that took a lot more faith than to think that God created this. That, to me, is easier to believe than this just all happened. It just blew me away. And I know this exhibit travels, and I know it's been to Boston. I think it's been to Hartford. I don't know. And I know it's constantly, if it ever comes around, go to it. It just is amazing. Turn to Romans 1, verse 20. In Romans 1, verse 20, it says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that we are without excuse." We just need to look at creation around us to have faith and believe in God because of just how awe-inspiring and creative he is. We can see God through his creation. Unimaginable creativity is evident throughout the design of God's in all of creation. I mean, think about just the variety in nature. What would it be like if everything was the same? I mean, what if we all looked the same? I mean, what if all animals looked the same? You know, dogs see black and white. I mean, what if we just saw in one color? Look at the colors and how many and how you can put different colors together, and that affects your mood, and just looking at nature and the blues and the greens and the flowers and just how beautiful. That's a gift that God has given us through our eyesight. But just how creative He is in His creation and what He has done for us so that we can enjoy this. I mean, what if there's only one kind of food? Well, maybe if it was pizza, but think about food and how much we can enjoy the different types of flavors that we have, and just how complex even our taste buds are, and how it travels to our brain and our brain interprets it. It's just amazing. It's amazing. God shows His creativity in all His creation, the variety of stuff that He does: trees, plants, food, animals, climates, landscape. You can just go on and on about thinking of how different and creative God is in the details of all the things that are around us. The Venus flytrap is an example of creativity. I mean, it's this plant that has this sort of trap in it with these long brushes, and it gives off this sweet smelling odor that entices the bugs and the prey to go to it. And when an insect is tempted at the center of this plant, it touches the trigger hair and it snaps shut within a half a second, capturing the insect. I mean, that's amazing. The archer fish is also amazing. It has this complex eyes that bulge out further than normal fish, so it can focus in on a single object. And it has this bony little tongue with grooves in it at the top of its mouth. It can take water, and as little bugs fly by, it can squirt up 2 feet, 2 to 3 feet above the water, and hit that bug so it falls to it, and then it can eat it. I mean, it's amazing. Evolutionary scientists, there was one in Scientific America, and he expressed like perplexity at this archer fish. I mean, he said the ability to sprout and do what it did is not necessary for survival. So it was difficult to account sort of in evolution or natural selection. It didn't make sense in the theory of evolution. I mean, God could have created and made one thing and multiplied it. But God exhibits His creativity by the variety in creation. And I think God also, in fact, I know He has a sense of humor. I mean, have you ever really looked at a moose? They are probably the funniest looking creatures you've ever seen. If you really look at a moose, you have to laugh. Or an elephant, or a giraffe. I mean, think of just how, God is almost whimsical in some of the animals that He has created for us to enjoy. So, why does God create? Why do you think God creates? Well, in Psalms chapter 104, there's a great description of creation. And if you ever want to meditate on creation, take a Bible, walk out somewhere on a nature hike, and stop somewhere in an overpass and read Psalms chapter 104. And we have nothing else to do, so let's read the whole chapter while we're here. Psalms 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, You are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering Yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. He lays the beams of His chambers of the water, and He makes the clouds His chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes the messengers winds, His minister a flaming fire. He set the earth on its foundation so that it should never be moved. You covered it with the deep as a garment. The water stood above the mountains. At Your rebuke, they fled. At the sound of Your thunder, they took flight. The mountains rose and the valleys sank down to the place that You have appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass. so that they may not cover the earth again, the waters. You made springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. You gave drink to the beasts of the field and to the wild donkeys that can quench their thirst. Besides them, the birds of the heaven dwell. They sing among the branches. Do you know that there's over 10,000 different species of birds? I mean, talk about creative. 10,000 different species. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and for plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth, and wine to gladden the heart of men, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen a man's heart. The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. In them the birds make their nest. The stork has her home in the fir trees. I mean, I also think of with birds, woodpeckers. There's over 150, almost 200 different kinds of woodpeckers. I mean, how creative is that? I mean, I couldn't even think of 200 different ways to make a bird, but there's 10,000 different species that God has created for us to enjoy. Verse 18, the high mountains are for the wild goats. The rocks are a refuge for the rock badgers. He made the moon to mark the seasons and the sun to know the time for setting. Verse 20, you make darkness and it is night when all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. And when the sun rises, they steal away to lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works. It's wisdom. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, great and wide, with teams of creatures, innumerable, living things, both great and small. There go the ships and Leviathan, which you have formed to play in it, which is this sea monster that nobody quite knows what it is. These all look to you and give them their food. You give them their food in due season. You give it to them. They gather it up. And when you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. And when you take away their breath, they die and return to dust. Verse 30, and when you sent forth your spirit, they were created, and you renewed the face of the ground. Let the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. Who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I mean, in the midst of this sort of great description of looking at creation and just how awe-inspiring it is, it says, let the glory of the Lord endure forever. And that is the first reason why God creates. The awesome creation that we see and all that it is in it is for the glory of God. Turn to Isaiah 43, verse 7. Because it says just that. In Isaiah 43, verse 7. God says, I have created for my glory. I mean, God created to manifest his glory, to be glorified in creation. I mean, it's not egotistical for God to do that. He is not a finite creature like us. In Isaiah, continuing a little further, 48 verse 11, it says, For my own sake I do this. My glory I will not give to another. God is just amazing. He just is amazing. Ephesians 1. In Ephesians 1, verse 12 through 14, it tells us that our very existence is to praise God, is to praise God and His glory. So the first reason that God creates is for His own glory. But another reason that God creates is to donate His goodness upon us who can acknowledge and enjoy His creation and His goodness. I mean, God wants a relationship with you. He wants to have a relationship with you. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. God richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. I mean, that's what God has done for us. James 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above. And in Acts 14, verse 17, God's goodness satisfies our hearts with food and gladness. I mean, God, like a parent, wants to share with us His creation. I mean, you can look at God's physical creation, the plants and the animals and nature and space and even our physical bodies, and just see how creative God is. But you know what? The physical is only part of His creation. Think for a moment about the spiritual side of creation. I mean, God exhibits His creativity through His working with and purpose for us, for mankind. I mean, God's whole plan of salvation and how He works with us individually is incredibly creative. I mean, even though God has given us free will, He is still in control. Well, how? By His wisdom and power, by Him being eternal, it allows Him true foreknowledge. I mean, He can control through several methods when you think about it. But what's most amazing to me is how God can use sort of evil free will choices of man and how He can bring out His purpose with that. God can take evil and He can work it to good. That not only is incredibly creative, we can be incredibly thankful for that. It just is amazing. It's a remarkable thing. And I think the more you understand that, the more in awe you will be of God. I mean, the holy days that we celebrate and observe yearly show us how God can take the worst of things and make it into something positive that can benefit us. I mean, throughout the Bible, we see examples of His creativity in working with people in general. In 1 Kings verse 17, He told Elijah told Ahab that it would not rain again until God said so. So God creatively fed Elijah out of the mouths of ravens. I mean, God was creative in the way that He kept His promise to Abraham concerning the fact that through Abraham all the nations of the world will be blessed, starting with his son Isaac at such an old age. He was so old, and his wife, when they had Isaac. I mean, that was incredibly creative what God did and how He kind of worked that out. God was creative in the way that He preserved Joseph and how Joseph was responsible for the salvation of the nation of Israel. God was creative when He saved Moses from death and He had him raised in the home of Pharaoh, the very person that was enslaving the people. And yet God found this creative way to get Moses kind of in the inside, taught him to be a leader, and then used that later for His purpose. And the way that even He delivered Israelites from Egypt was incredibly creative when you think about all the gods that the Egyptians had and how each one of the plagues really addressed each one of these gods that these Egyptians worshipped so much. I mean, it was kind of funny in a way, but it was just incredibly creative. And when you look at the Bible, you can just go on and on and on about how God works with us individually. How, I mean, each one of us take a different path. God is using each one of us for his purpose, all the life lessons that we learn. And you have a very different experience than you have, and you have a different experience. And yet God is taking that, and he's creatively trying to figure out how to work with each one of us to bring us to him. And then for us, like him, to give to others and to use our gifts for others. I mean, God's plan of salvation and the way that he will deliver all of us from death is creative. I mean, think about Jesus' birth and just how creative that was. You would think, I mean, think about who Jesus, he was God. He's our Lord and Savior. I mean, you think he would be born in this palace, you know, like in royalty, but he wasn't. I mean, the way he was born is just amazing, and how humble it was. It's amazing how creative God thought about salvation and how to bring us to him. You know, God's love for us is beyond our comprehension. Listen to what Jesus is telling us in John 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And I can't help but think of, we just passed the 15th year anniversary of 9/11 and what happened. And you know, you will never forget those images of just the mangled steel and the chaos and the just how ugly it was all. That is what Satan wants to do with our lives. That is what Satan wants to do to this world. He wants to destroy. He wants to mangle. But if you keep reading on, God says, Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. I mean, Jesus came so that we can have eternal life. Our God used his creativity to devise a way in which we can live eternally with the being who created us and loved us. That is just amazing. I mean, we can be very happy that our God is just so incredibly creative, and that it's an attribute of his. Genesis 1 verse 26. We see that God created us in his own image. I mean, he could have created us in any image he wanted to, but he created us in his own image. I mean, by being created in his likeness, we have intellectual capacity. We have free will. And with our free will, we can love and appreciate the beauty that he has given us. We can appreciate art and literature and music. I mean, I think what's so neat is we're all individuals too. We don't all build the same kind of house. We don't all live and like the same things. We get our creativity from God and from the fact that he created us in his image. When you think about it, and all the advances that mankind has made, well, they're a result of using creativity that God gave us in the first place, because we are like him. He made us like him. So we see that our God has created his sort of awesome creativity in nature, and we see that he has given that sort of spiritually in us. But we, like God, can be creative, and it really is a gift that God has given us. I think one of the areas that God wants to use our creativity for his purpose can be found in 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter 4, verse 10, it shows us that each of us have received a gift from God. As each of you has received the gift, employ it, use it for others. I mean, the gift God gives us should help us build each other up and help each other. And the church. The gifts are listed in 1 Corinthians 12, in Ephesians 4, and in Romans 12. Romans 12 talks about motivational gifts like giver and encourager and compassion person. I mean, these gifts shape our personality. God has given us these gifts to help the church in its great commission. preaching the gospel and building and nurturing the flock. I mean, God wants us to use these gifts on a local level. This is where we can use our creativity to help other. God created us. God has gifted each of us with this tremendous amount of creativity and potential if we just will let Him use it in us. But what's really exciting is that the creativity that God has given us is not just for here and for now. The creativity that God has given us and the lessons that we're learning, we are going to bring into the next life. I mean, that is incredible to me. Romans 8. In Romans 8, verse 19, it says, "For creation is eagerly waiting for God to reveal His children, because the creation was subjected to frustration, though not by its own choice. The one who subjected it did it so in the hope that the creation itself would also be set free from slavery to decay in order to share the glorious freedom of God's children." We are going to have a hand in using our creativity to build this world the way that God wants it, but also to build the entire universe. We were created in His image. We are His children. We get to share in God's creativity for eternity. You know, day-to-day events in our life can sometimes overwhelm us. I mean, we can't help but sometimes just concentrate and look at them. But as we come into these fall holy day season, let's not, like my little daughter, focus down on that shiny little knob right in front of us. Remember to look up. Look up in life. Admire our awesome Creator and what He has created. And let's look at the beauty that He wants to share with us in this life and meditate on the incredible future that God has in store for each and every one of us.